is Daf Yud Aleph. So we got to the very top line. The Gemara is still going through some interesting stories here. This is a well-known story. The Gemara talks about Unculus. Unculus, who is the nephew of Titus. So Unculus bar Clonimus, Machlokus exactly, could be a different Girsa. Others say it's Ben, there's a Girsa on the side here. Clonicus, okay. Either way, this is the story of Unculus, who wrote Targum. The Gemara says, Egeir, he converted, he became a Jew. And even though he grew up as a Roman, as a Christian, so Shadr Caesar, the Caesar, sent after him a Gunda de Romai, a whole brigade of Romans, Abasre, to chase him down. But Mashchinu Bekroi, but the Unculus was such a chacham, he's able to attract them, draw them in, and have them convert by telling them psukim and telling them joshas, and he inspired them, and they all converted. Egeir, they all converted. So then the Gemara said, first, a number of questions they ask here is, how is Unculus able to draw them into becoming geirim? We know the halacha is we try to discourage a person from being a geir. How could he draw them in and try to attract them and inspire them to become geirim? So according to the Ein Yaakov suggests that the Isser is only for a person who grew up as a Jew. Only he has an Isser of drawing in goyim to become a geir. But a geir himself, who knows both sides, know what it's like to be one way and the other way, according to the Ein Yaakov, he is actually allowed to encourage, inspire others to convert. That's the Ein Yaakov suggestion. The Divrei Chaim says differently. He doesn't like this pshat. He says differently that the Isser is only in Bezdin, that Bezdin cannot convince an individual to convert. They have to discourage and tell him it's not good to be a Jew, we have it tough, with all these tsaros. But outside of Bezdin, one is allowed to try to convince someone to convert. So, halachically speaking, I don't know if we paskin this way, but this just explains what Unculus was trying to accomplish. Another suggestion, the Devei Chaim says, based on the Rambam, the reason why we don't want to convince someone, because we want to make sure that they're really interested. If we inspire them that it's good to be a Jew, and then they come in, they realize it's not so good, then they could easily leave very easily. But in this situation, since they were now in danger, if they tell the Caesar that they converted, their life is in danger. So the fact that they were willing to convert, despite the danger that they were involved in, that shows that it really was a true conversion, and you could trust them. Even though Unculus convinced them, the opposite would have been dangerous for them. So therefore, he was able to, again, encourage them to convert. Now, another question, yeah?
But are they teaching Torah?
So that they ask the question, so how could you teach them Torah? How could you teach them Psukim? So it explains here that the nature, the Isser of teaching non-Jews Torah is Machlokis in the Gemara Sanhedrin, whether it's an Isser Gzela or an Isser Nara Murasa. So if it's Isser Gzela, the Nunculus was in danger. They were going to take him back and kill him. But for the Kuach Nefesh, you could violate Gzela and teach them Torah. What about Nara Murasa, if you assume that way? So then it won't be so pashit. If it's Nara Murasa, if you assume that teaching Torah, giving away the Klai as a wife, if you will, that may not be so pashit. But if you assume it's Gezel, so then it's permitted. But on that, in if they assume that teaching Torah is Gzela, you're stealing the Torah of Klai Yisrael. So there's another Klal the Gemara tells in Baba Kama that's Aser Lahatil Asmo Bimamun Chavero. You can't save yourself. I can't go hide in your haystack and burn your haystack to save myself. I can't save myself with your money. So how is that allowed? How could I take the Sefer Torah from Klai Yisrael to save myself? So they end up saying the Iser Gzela of Lahatil Atzmo Mimamun Chavero is only when you cause someone a loss of money. Not every gzela is going to lead to a loss of money. So I can't burn your haystack to save myself. But here I'm not causing a loss. There might be gzela to take the Torah of Klai Yisrael, but there's not going to be a chisaron for anyone, and therefore he was allowed to save himself with other people's money, namely teaching them Torah. Fine. The Gemara now says, continues on the discussion here. So again, after they converted, Hadar, three lines down, Shadr, Gunda, Duramai, Acharina, Abasre. So then the Caesar sent another brigade of Romans to bring him back. But this time the Caesar warned them, Lo timrile velo mide. Don't talk to them about anything. Kiava shakli valzi, as they were bringing him back in chains, Amrle, he says to them, the uncle says to them, Eimalachu milsa ba'alma, I'm going to tell you just to stop, nothing to do with Torah, just going to talk about worldly events. So the Gemara, he explains, Nifyora naket nura kame pifyora. I don't know the exact translations, but these are different types of levels in the army, different soldiers. So Nifiora is like the lowest one. So the lower soldier holds a candle for the one who's above him. And the Pifiora, Luduxa, Pifiora holds a candle for the one who's above him. And Duxa, Lagmona, and Agmona, Lakuma, Kuma is the king. So each soldier is holding the candle for the one who's above him. The soldier, the general, the admiral, the whatever gets to the king. But they say, Does me knock it? Kuma mi nakin nura mikami inche. But will the kuma, will the king, would the king ever hold a candle in front of his regular common people? Amrilei lo. Of course he wouldn't. They tell Unklus. Amrilei ho. So he says to them. Unklus responds back. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nakin nura kami yisov. But Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the king of the world, in fact does hold the fire in front of the regular people, based on a pasuk in this week's parsha, dechsiv, it says, Vashem holeich lefneim yomam v'gomer. The rest of the pasuk, which is important here, b'amud anan lan chosam haderech lelaila b'amud eish lahayir lahem alechas yomam v'laila. Kadosh Baruch Hu holds up the fire for the regular people. So we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu is an anav, a Kadosh Baruch Hu serves the people. This is a very good religion, and that was enough to igayir kulu, all of them converted based on this inspiring drasha. So then had the Shadu Gunda Acharina Basre. So then the Caesar sent a third brigade of Romans to chase him down. Amarlu, this time the Caesar warned him, Lo tishtai mide behade, don't get involved with him, don't talk anything, not even worldly matters, just stay quiet, keep him quiet, and just bring him back here. So Kinakti lay, when they took Unklus out, the Ozli, he was going through his house, Chazim mezuzah sa demancha pischei, he saw the mezuzah was on the doorpost, Osiv Yadei Allah, he placed his hand on the mezuzah, Vamalhu my high. So he says to the soldiers, what exactly is this mezuzah thing? So Amalhu, they have no idea. They said, Emalah, not. You tell us what this mezuzah is. We don't know what this is. Amalhu, he says, okay, great. Minhago shel olam melech basar v'dam yoshib b'mifnim v'avadav mishamim oso mibuchot. The way it is of the world, the king sits inside the palace and all the soldiers on the outside protecting the king. V'ilo kadosh baruch hu avadav mibifnim v'mishamim mibuchot. Kadosh baruch hu is going to the avadim are in the inside of the house. Kadosh baruch hu is watching them on the outside. That's what the mezuzah represents. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, until Hashem yishmor tzeisecha ve'echa me'ata vi'ado. Along the pasuk continues to say, Igayer, and they converted as well the third brigade with Tulo Shadir Basrei. He no longer chased him afterwards. He realized that there was no hope in getting Unklus back to Rome.
He's going
to
lose his arm.
Okay. So the Ramah brings down in Halach and Hilchas Mezuzah that when a person leaves the house or comes in the house, a person should touch the Mezuzah when he leaves. And the Grav says, this is the source. This Gemara and Avodah Zarah with Unklus is the source. The person is supposed to, in fact, touch it. But Kvega points out, though, if the Mezuzah is not covered, and sometimes you have it, there is no case, you're not allowed to touch the klaf. We've discussed in the past, touching the klaf is asur, certainly the klaf of a Sefer Torah. There's a machlokes about other shar kisfeyad, mezuzahs, megillahs. We try to not touch the klaf of any type of kisfei kodesh. But the case, you certainly can. There's another discussion about kissing the mezuzah. That too is brought down in the poskim. The idea of kissing mezuzahs, the chidah would kiss the matzah, would kiss the marah. There's an inyan of kissing mitzvahs and kisvei kodesh. So here as well, there's an inyan to kiss the mezuzah, at least kiss your hand when you touch the mezuzah.
You have to touch the mezuzah at some point. Saying,
oh no! When you have to, obviously, then all the way to do it. But you're supposed to wash your hands. They break down. Wash your hands before doing that. Same for Torah as well.
But
of course, you have to touch it to write the Sefer Torah.
They do it that is also metame, like Sefer Torah. No.
No, it's not.
It's only Sefer Torah.
Exactly.
Because you put food in the
exactly. The Gemara has a machlokas about the other Megillahs, about Koheles and Shiashirim and Esther. So we paskin is not metame adai Megillahs Esther, I believe, but we're still machmir. If a person holds a Megillah in a month, we'll be there in Purim. You should really wash your hands before holding your klaf of the Megillah. Okay. The Gemara then says further, last few lines here of the narrow lines. Vayomer Hashem lo shnei goyim bivinech, talking to Rivka. The Rivka had two goyim, two nations in her stomach. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, al tikre goyim ela geyim. Geyim is lashon of a gaiva, not haughtiness necessarily, but people who have prestige. Zeh, who this is referred to, Antoninus, who came from Esav, and Rebbe, who came from Yaakov. Shelo pasku me'al shulchanam lo chazeres lo kishus lo tznon. They were so wealthy that they always had these types of vegetables. Chazeres, which you find that as lettuce. Okay, and kishos is cucumbers, tznon is radish. And lobimos hachama, lobimos hagishamim, whether in the summer, whether in the winter, they always had these vegetables. The amar mar, tznon mechatech, the tznon sharpens the mouth, that gives a person an appetite. And ochel chazeres mahapech maachel, the chazeres turns over, I guess, the taste of it. And kishus merachiv meayim, and the cucumbers make the stomach expand in order to have them eat. So these are delicacies that were enhancing the eating. So that's how these goyim were really gay, were really of wealthy individuals. So Gemara says, wait a second, Vatana de Be'er Yishmael, Lama Nikr Shman Kishuim. Why are cucumbers called Kishuim? Mipnesha Koshin Lugufel Shal Adam, because they're very challenging, they're hard, they take a toll on a person's stomach, they're not good for a person. Kicharabal is like swords going into a person's stomach. So kishum are not good. So the Gemara says, Lakasha Habri Ravrave Habizutri, one's big, one's small. The machlok is which one's better. Some say the bigger ones are the better cucumbers, the small ones are worse, and others say vice versa. Rashi doesn't comment here on this. You look at Tosos, we'll do the top two Tosos, and look at Dima Maslut Snom. Just jump to the last few lines of that Tosos here, where he says, V'afa Gav. He says, V'afa Gav, Damrina Gemara Ksubas tells us, Sherebi, lo nehenem in olam afilu be'etzba katana. Rebbe, before he died, said, I didn't benefit from the world, not even from my pinky. Sagam the Gemara here in Avodah Zarah says that he enjoyed all these delicacies. Tosos says, Mikol makom ochle shulchano hayurabim. He himself didn't engage in eating, but his table had tons of guests, and he was serving tons of guests, tons of food to everyone, but he himself didn't enjoy from this. Others say differently, that based on Rashi, Rashi and Ksuba seems to say that he did get hana from it. What it means is he didn't work at all. Rebbe didn't work a day in his life, and yet he was zocha to all this delicacy, which he ate, he partook in, he took part in it, but he didn't work for it. It just all came to him naturally. And the Gra says, no, he ate from it, but if a person has the proper kavana when eating, it's l'shem shemayim, that's not considered nehena me'olm hazif. You have the proper kavana to whatever it means to bring up all the nitotas, whatever idea of eating is supposed to be about, that was the kavana Rebbe had, so it wasn't viewed as a hana be'olm hazif. One more tosis to look at is Shalom Pasku Mishulchan Snon, that he always had radishes on his table. Ainz Rabusa, what's the chiddush, right? What's the big deal? What's the radishes and cucumbers, these things are special, lettuce? Ella shehayu marbin suda shulchanam shayutzrichin lechatech ulahabech maichol ulaharchem nimad. The foods themselves weren't so such a big deal. The fact that they needed to have radish to change between meals, to clean the taste buds, and to have the lettuce in between meals, the fact that they needed that, that's the chiddush. Not that they actually had them. That's not such a big chiddush. Gemara now says last three wide lines on the page here. Yom haleda v'yom hamisa. So the Mishnah said that depending on what they did when a king died, that would indicate whether or not that day was a day of Avodah Zarah. So according to Rabbi Meir, he held that any yahrzeit or any birthday, they would always be considered a holiday. But Chacham argued and said, no, if the Misa was accompanied by burning all the Kli Tashmishei, all the different utensils and tools of the king, so that would indicate it was a day of Avodah Zarah. If the day of the Yartite, they didn't burn anything, so then that would not be a day of Avodah Zarah. So Chacham distinguished between Sreifa and no Sreifa. Rabbi Meir says every single Yartite of the king was always considered a day of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara explains on Mechlad, does this imply the Rabbi Meir Savar Lo Shna Misa Sheish Ba Sreifa, Lo Shna Misa Sheein Ba Sreifa? That seems to indicate that Rabbi Meir wouldn't distinguish whether or not they burnt his materials or not. It was always considered a day of Avodah Zarah. So Gemara says, "Palchu be'la vodas chachavim." They would always worship Avodah Zarah on the yartid of Avmelech. Alma sreifa lav chuki. It seems to indicate that the burning is not considered a chukah. The burning has nothing to do with any Avodah Zarah. Michlau, the Rabbanan savri sreifa chukahi. But according to the Rabbanan, no, sreifa, when burning was done, that itself was a chukah. That was a type of Avodah Zarah. The Hatnan, but doesn't the Brisa tell us, Hatanya, surfin al hamlochim velo midarchi amori? Our Brisa says that you're allowed to burn, if a Jewish king dies, you're allowed to burn his nechasim, and that's not considered darchi amori. Now, if we say burning of the Kli Tashmishe Melech is considered a chukah, anan hecha sarfinan. How could that Brisa say we could burn the materials of a Jewish king? The pasuk says, you can't walk in the ways of the goyim. So it sounds like, in fact, since you are allowed to burn the nechasim of a Jewish king, it's not considered chukas akum. So how come the chachamim say, if they did sreifa by the melech of a non-Jew, that's avodah zarah? If they didn't do sreifa, it's not avodah zarah. Sreifa has nothing to do with avodah zarah. We could do sreifa, they could do sreifa. What's the indication of sreifa? So the Gemara answers, Ela dechuli ama sreifa lav chuki. Everyone who keeps burning is not a chukas akum. You're allowed to burn the material of a non-Jewish king and a Jewish king. There's nothing wrong with that. Ela chashivu sahi. But when there's fire there, it just adds chashivus to it. V'hacha v'hacha mifki. They're arguing about the following. Rabbi Meir Savar, lo shna misa sheish basreifa, lo shna misa sheein basreifa. Whether or not the death of the king is accompanied by burning his materials or not, palche bei lavodah chachavim. They're always going to worship Avodah Zarah, the day of the death of the king. Rabbanan Tzavri, Mi Sishyesh Basrefa, if there's Srefa there, that indicates to us, not that the Srefa itself is Aser, but the Srefa is a Simen, Chashiva Lehu, that they really, very much praised and they held highly this king. So then, since the king was a Chashu king, the fact that they burned his material, Palchibe, then they would do Avodah Zarah. Not that the Srefa was Avodah Zarah, Srefa was a Simen, that this was a Chashu king. Because regular people, they didn't burn their clothing. Only if you really made it to the top of the line would they burn the clothing. And if there wasn't burning, that means the king wasn't so chashiv in their eyes, and in which case they wouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. This Gemara reminds me of the following discussion. There's a Rabbi Blumenkrantz has in his Pesach digest, he has a big chumrah that you're not allowed to use. He thinks birthday cakes in general are a problem of Chukas Akum, and birthday candles are a problem of Chukas Akum, because birthday candles, apparently in the Greek mythology, that they would serve as the moon, who's supposed to be like shaped like a moon, and they offer it to the moon god, and the candles are supposed to represent the stars and everything like that. So he says you can't have birthday cakes, you can't have birthday candles. That's obviously not the practice, and it's a bit extreme. So Shachter says the idea of a cake and the idea of candles just to make it chashiv. You have a wedding, you have candles at a wedding. You have a malki, you have candles. You have a Yantav Shabbos, they're candles. Candles makes it chashiv. You don't put the candles to represent the stars. It's about chashivas, which reminds me of the Gemara here, that the Srefa isn't about worshiping of Avodah Zarah. It's not a chukas akum. The Srefa is simply a chashivas, just like the candles on a birthday candle. Okay, there's a fascinating tosis here, but I don't know if we have time for it. This long tosis, e chukahi. It's long here. I'll just start with the question and we'll jump to the answer. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. Tosis asks, Tema, my kaparach, what's the question of the Gemara here? Dilma li olam chuki, really maybe Srefa is chuka, but it's still allowed, but kevan de ksiva baraisa lo gamrina minayu. Chukas akum, if let's say the goyim starts sitting in sukkahs, now that becomes chukas akum. Does that mean we can't sit in sukkahs anymore? The goyim start shaking lulav. Does that mean we can't? No. Anything that's written in the Torah, even though they take upon that chuk for themselves, you can never uproot a din deraisa. So maybe the point is, since he goes on to quote Psukim here, that there's an idea of Srefa in the Torah, even though for them it's chukas akum, it's not going to undermine our ability to burn things. So he goes on to bring a number of interesting rides, which is really, I would recommend reading this Tosos. But in the end, look what he writes. If you go around halfway down this Tosos, the first word in line is Perishri. Perishri, it's around four Y-lines down in the Gemara, the Tos is right there. Perishri, the Trei Gavnei Chukah Havei, there are two dinim, two types of Chukas Akum. Echad She'osin L'Shem Chok L'Avodas Chochavim, one type that they do really mamish L'Avodas Zara, and that's Aser. V'Echad She'osin L'Shem Das Hevel V'Shul Shalem, what if they don't have any reason for it, they just kind of do it. Let's say a Christmas tree, for example. Is there a real reason? Is that Avodah Zarah, the Christmas tree? They just do it because they have some shtus to do it. That may not be considered Avodah Zarah. I'm suggesting. I really don't know why they have Christmas trees. But
they were care of the people that were worshiping the Asherah.
Uh-huh.
So they said to them, we'll bring in the tree and you can do the same thing.
Uh-huh. So it might be based on Avodah Zarah. Whatever the reason is, if it's based on real Avodah Zarah, if it's based on Avodah Zarah, so that's Aser. If it's based on shtus, so then it doesn't have any impact. And that's a very important halacha.
Halloween.
What?
Halloween.
According to some, apparently in Europe it's still a day of Avodah Zarah, I was told.
Really?
Let's say the white coats. The Gra is a famous din that the white coats of a doctor you're not supposed to wear. That's Chukas Akum. It's not Chukas Akum. They don't wear the white coats because of Avodah Zarah. They wear it just to distinguish. When you're walking in the hospital, who's the doctor to call over? You come here, I need your help. You're wearing a white coat. So the Gra had a very machmir position about Chukas Akum. Anything that was similar to the non-Jews was Chukas Akum. According to Tosis, only if it has basis in Avodah Zarah would there be a problem. Otherwise, it wouldn't be as much of a problem. But again, this is a huge, huge sugya. The Gemara now says, last eight lines of the page here, last word on the line is Gufa. Gufa sorfin al hamlachim ve'ein bo mishum darchei amori. You're allowed to burn the property of a Jewish king, and it's not considered a chukas akum, not considered darchei amori. Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us, b'shalom tamus, u'misifos avosecha hamlachim, and with peace they should die, and you should burn the property. The Kishem Shesorfin al Amlochim, Kach Sorfin al Nisim. Nisim also could get this type of covet of burning their property. Umahim Sorfin al Amlochim, what exactly of the kings would they burn? Mitas on their beds, Uklitash Mishan, and any other types of their scepter or something else, or their horse. So Umayis Shemesh Mangamli HaZakein, who was a Nasi, he died. The Sarf Alava, Unkelus Hager comes back here, he burnt Shivim Manetsuri, he burnt 70 coins. The Gemara says, "Hamris, Mahin Sorfin Alein, Mitasim V'Kli Tashmishin." Why is he burning coins? The Bryce says you burn his things that he uses, the bed and his scepter, not the coin, not the money. Ema b'shivim mana tsuri. He burnt a kli tashmishin that was worth a value of 70 mana tsuri. Umidi achrini lo. We only burn his mita and his kli tashmishin, nothing else. V'atanya, doesn't the Bryce tell us okrin al hamalachim vein bo mishum darchi amori? You're allowed to okrin is you're allowed to cut off the legs of a horse so they're no longer able to. No one else could use them anymore. So we see that they do things to other types of materials owned by the kings. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, sus sherachav alav. So no, that's because that's Kli Tashmisha. That was a horse he would ride. That's called, not his horse that he had in the backyard running around. This was the horse that the king would ride, and that's considered Kli Tashmisha. That's why they would be ochre. So look what Tosos asks here. Very good. So Tosos asks the question, Dibur Maskel Okrin al Hamlochim, Im Tomar, Ma'ai, Lo Parach Vaika, Tar Balichayim, and it's a deraisa, according to most opinions. How could you do that? So jump down to Tosos, two lines down, V'yesh Lomar, Deshayni covered Hamelech, Shu covered L'chol Yisrael, V'asa covered Rabim, V'adachi Tar Balichayim. The covered of the king is the covered of the people, and the Asay, the Rabim, is able to override the Issa, deraisa of Tar Balichayim. This comes up a lot, the number of different areas about covered malchus. They talk about this when Yosef HaMelech, when Yosef HaTadigrad, when he came from the boar, he had to go meet Paro, he had to shave. It was Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos that day. He had to shave his hair and his beard and everything like that. And they explained that since covered HaMelech, covered malchus, is more important, it's able to override even Yisurei Deraisa. Okay. Others argue and say you could only violate Yisurei Derabanan. The Gemara now says, last two lines, Bema Torah lo, we only are going to cut the legs off of a sus because he rides on the sus, but Ha'atanya, doesn't the Braisa tell us, Iker Shiesh Ba Trefa Aser, Vishem Ba Trefa Mutter. If it's going to be Iker, if you're going to cut the leg so high up on the animal where you're going to render it a Trefa, that you cannot do. You cannot make an animal into a Trefa. That's Baal Tashchis, that's Aser to do that. But if you're going to cut low enough on the legs where it's not going to render it a Trefa, that would be permitted. The A's the Iker She'ein Ba'Trefa. What's the type of Iker cutting off the legs that will not render the Trefa, meaning that's permitted? Ha'menashim b'parsoseh minar kuvo l'mata. From below the knees, that's permitted, will not render it a Trefa. The fact that we're talking about Trefa here tells us we're talking about even a Behema Tahora. We'll get to the Kachem in a second. But even a Behema Tahora is Aser, you're allowed to ruin the Behema Tahora. Even though the king doesn't ride a Behema Tahora, you ride a horse, you don't ride a cow. That's not called Kli Tashmisha. So Gemara answers, Targumah Rapapa be'egla ha'mosheches b'karon. We're talking about a calf or cow that pulls a wagon. Granted that the king doesn't ride on the cow itself, but the cow pulls the king, that's considered kli tashmish, and you are able to burn it, to kill it, to cut off its legs. Look back at the Baal Tosfos in the previous Amud in light of Andy's question. Tosfos asks, Iker sheyesh b'trefa. He said, "Perish hakunches." He quotes Rashi's pshat: "The also ligrom trefas lebehema tahor biyadaim." You can't make an animal into trefa lechachila. Tosfos says, "Why not?" V'tema v'chi kachim heim. Are these kachim? Sheyehe also ligrom lehem trefas. I understand if it's a kachim animal that you can't make a mum. This is a regular behema tahor. Who says I can't shoot a cow in the leg and then make it a trefa in the lungs? V'mishim baal tashchis, isn't it baal tashchis to do this? Im kein hecha muchach mehadamayi behema Torah, afil behema temeya, na mishach, it's baal tashchis. If the whole concern here is one of baal tashchis, so we shouldn't distinguish between behema Torah and behema temeya. So in the end of the day, Tosfos gives lechach, go down a line, nir lefarish aser b'achila. What's going on? He's not saying that there's an issur to cause it to become a trefa. That's permitted lefi shitas Tosfos. What he means in the Gemara, it's usher to eat such an animal, which seems to be obvious, but you see what he's bothered by within Shitas Rashi. There's a machlokas, whether there's an isser to make an animal into a trefa. Okay. The Gemara now says three lines down on Amud Beis. We'll go through this quickly. The Gemara says, Yom Taglachas Zekano, the day that they would shave the beard. I mean, the Gemara Mishnah said also the day that they would let the blorio, so the hair grow long in the back. So Gemara asks, how does it read? Yom taglachas zekano vanachas bolira. So is that really one day, the day he would cut the beard and at the same time let the hair grow long in the back? O dilma yom taglachas zekano vavaras bolira. So or does it mean the day that he would cut the hair and the day that he would He would cut everything except he would cut right. He would, right. Look at Rashi. Right. Look at Rashi. Bavaris Blariso. Rashi five lines down says narrow lines down. L'sof shana every end of the year shemegalech osa Bloris levada. They let it grow and then at the end of the year they cut it and then let it regrow. So is the when we say Blariso is that when we leave it when you cut the hair and you let it grow leave it or does it mean at the end of the year when you actually cut the long hair in the back? So Gemara says Tashma. The Tanya Tervayu, both them hold Yom Taglacha Zekano Vanachaso Bliraso Yom Taglacha Zekano Vavaras Bliraso. Actually, both of them are true. The day they would let it grow, and then the day they would cut it off. So Gemara now says,
isn't it the same time?
No, no, because it seems that they would let it, you know, they would first let it grow at some point, as they would shave the hair. I'm not sure at what point during the, let's say 6 months in. So then the hair would be long there, they shave the beard, but then they leave the hair growing still halfway through the year. And the end of the year...
they would cut the hair at different times than they would cut...
I don't think they'd cut the, you know, every once a year, the rest of the hair.
Right.
Yeah. So I would imagine not. I don't know exactly, but it seems like two different stages. Like every month when they get a haircut, so then they leave the hair.
Out of
fashion, yeah. Okay, Gemara now says, seven lines down from the top, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel... There's actually one more holiday that wasn't mentioned in the Brisa, and that's the following, as the Gemara explains. Achas l'shivim shana, every 70 years, mevin adam shalom, they bring a whole person, an individual, umar kivin also al adam chigar, and have him ride on the shoulders a person who has a limp. Umal bishin also big day adam rishon, they put the big day adam rishon on top of the guy adam shalom. Then Rashi points out that the Adam Shalom is connected to Esav, and Adam Chigar is connected to Yaakov, who had a limp from the fight with the Malach. So then they place, again, Rashi says, Big Dei Chamudos, that Esav had, which they're calling Adam Arishon's clothing, they place it on the Adam Shalom, who's on the top. Umanichan lo barosho, kar kifalo, sho Rabbi Yishmol. Rashi explains that Rabbi Yishmol, who was one of the Harugi Malchus, he had such a pretty or handsome face, that the daughter of the Caesar wanted to hold on to it, so as they were killing him, she requested to have the face preserved for him, and they skinned his face, and it had been preserved. So every 70 years, they placed his face that was preserved on the top of this Adam, on the top of the shoulder. The Talule B'Tzavare Miskal Masayim Zuze, the Pisa, they'd hang a very heavy rock from his neck. And Umechapin As Hashvakim Beinach, then they would adorn the marketplaces with this type of stone, a very precious stone. Umachris and Lefanov, and they'd call out in front of the people walking, Sach Kire Plaster, the amount, it completed the times of a Sach is Sach Kakol, like everything, the whole of sum. And Kire is referring to Kate, the end. The end of the time came, Plaster Achua Demarna, the brother who was of Esav, namely Yaakov, Zaifa, who was Marana, who was the person who tricked, and Zaifa was a liar, that the time of Yaakov Avinu, who was a liar, who stole the Bechor and stole the Brachos, the time has come, and still the Kate has come, and they have not been redeemed yet, the Chaman, they had this whole procession every 70 years of celebrating that Esav and the Romans were still in control, and the Jews had nothing. And Chami, the Chami, those who saw it were Zocha to see it, Udelo Chami, Lo Chami, those who were not Zocha to see it are not going to see it, because it happened only every 70 years. So the Gemara says, Maya, and they would say further, Maya Hani Liramad Ramusa, what good is the one who tricks in his trickery? Ulizaifo Mizivaniso, and one who lies with his lying, what good is it? Look at Yaakovinu's nation, look at our nation. Umasimon Bey, and they would conclude, unclear who would conclude this way. It sounds like the Jews would conclude this way, maybe quietly. Voila din kad Yaakov din, woe to these people who think they're actually in control, woe to the Romans. Now they ask why every 70 years did they do this, why not more frequently? Because the Romans knew that the 70 years of Gaulus between Bais Rish and Bais Sheni, so another 70 years came and they were not redeemed yet, so that shows that the Romans are still in control, Esav still on top. So Gemara then finishes off, Amar Vashi, Hichshilun Piyama L'Rishayim. That they were stumbling, their mouths themselves were a stumbling block for the Rishayim. I Amri Zaifu Achua Demarna Kedikamri. So if they said that they lie, the brother liar, like they would say, but hashtad amri demarna zaifa, marna gufa zaifu. So I'm not sure how to teach this exactly. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, where are we? Rashi isn't saying anything actually on this.
They're saying they hang it on themselves.
Right. So if they say zaifana achua demarna, if they were to say the brother, the liar, their brother, so then it would make sense. But Hashadami, now they're saying, the Marana Zaifa, his brother the liar. It sounds like they're saying Marana Gufai Zaifanu. They're saying that the master, the Esau itself, was a liar. I don't know how to teach the Aramaic, but that's in essence what they're saying, the Nusach that they're using.
They were Mehafach, the Nusach of the Ruvain.
So the grammar somehow, yes.
It should be that Esau is a bad one and Yaakov is.
But I think that they themselves were saying this, it seems like. They didn't have the proper grammar. So again, I don't know how to type the words exactly, but it's on themselves as opposed to referring to Yaakov. The Tana Didan, our Braisa, my time, what was the reason, Lo Kachashavle, why wasn't this last holiday listed on the other, among the other holidays? L'hai D'Isa B'Vachal Shasa V'Shasa Kachashav, that holiday that would happen every single year, annually, Kachashav. The Lesa B'Vachal Shasa V'Shasa Lo Kachashav, those holidays which didn't not happen every single year, it was not considered as part of the Braisa. The Gemara finished off now saying, honey, the Rome, we mentioned the holidays of the Romans. What about the Pasai Mai? What are the Persian holidays that we have to be careful of? Motradi, Rituriski, Renmuraki, Umoharan. So those are the, whatever those mean, holidays of the Persians, the different names in them, I don't know what they mean. And Savadhani, the Parsi, the Romai. So these are the Persian and the Roman holidays. The Bavlai Mai, what are the Babylonian holidays? Muranki, Vanknisi, Bechanvani, Esr Adar. Those are the holidays of Babel. So Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista, Amar Rav, Vamri Le, others say Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav, Amar Rav, Chamisha Bati Avodas Chochavim Kvunhein. There are five established, well-established houses of Avodah Zarah. Eluhein, these are the five. Bais Baal Bibavil, Bais Nevo Bichursi, Tarasa Sheba Mefeg, Tufa Sheba Ashkelon, and Nasha Sheba Rava, Aravia. These are the five Bais Avodas Chochavim that are in five different locations. Ki also Rav Dimi came back from Eretz Yisrael. He returned to Bavel. Hosif Olein, he said in Eretz Yisrael, they added a sixth place, Yarid Shebein Bechi. And in Nidvacha Shebeako, these were two more, so there's really a total of seven. Ikadamri, some say Nizbara was Nizbar Shebeako. It wasn't Nidvacha, it was Nidbara. Okay, different name. Rav Dimi Minarda, Masni Ipcha, he taught the opposite. The Yarid was Shabako, Nidbacha Shabin Bechi. Okay, Machlokis, which place was in, which house was in which city? And Amarlei, Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista, Rav Chista, my Kavuni. What does it mean that these houses of Avodah Zarah are considered Kavua? Amarlei, Hachi, Amar Avua, the Eimach, this is what the father, your mother said, your grandfather told me, Kavun Hain Li Olam, Tadira Kula Shata Palchilu, that these places are Kavua all the time, that they always celebrate a holiday. It's always a day of Avodah Zarah, which means you can never do any business with these places that are kavua. And finally, the Gemara says before the mission, and then we'll stop here. Amar Shmuel Begola Eino Aser Ela Yom Idam Bilvad. In Galus, there's only one day, only the day itself, rather, whatever holiday it is, only that day itself is Aser, but the days prior and the days after are permitted to do business. Yom Idam Nami, Gemara says, right. Again, Eino Aser Ela Yom Idam Bilvad. Yom Idam Nami, Mi Aser. Wait a second, the Gemara says. Is it really true? Is even the Yom Idam Aser? Is it Aser to do even business on that day itself? V'ha Rav Yehuda Shari Le Rav Bruna Lizvunei Chamra Rav Gida Lizvunei Chitin B'chagasa D'tai. But don't we have a statement that Rav Yehuda permitted these individuals to do business, to buy wine and to buy wheat from them on their holidays? It sounds like in Gola everything's permitted, even on the Yom Edom. So the Gemara says, no, Shaini Chagasa D'tiyasi D'lo Kviya. The difference, the Chagasa D'tiyai are different. Rashi explains here, the first Y line down, the Chagasi D'tiyai, Yom L'shana Miskapsin Kol Sochi Ya'ir L'echol L'shtos L'achog L'shem Avodos Chochav. Once a year, all the different merchants would get together to eat, to drink, and to celebrate to a certain idol, or a certain god, Plonis. V'kan Karin Kumchandya, okay. D'lo Kviya, Ein Choshin La Kokachim Ein Osin La B'chol Shana. So, what's the difference here?
It
wouldn't be every year, every few years. So since it wasn't happening every year, when it did happen, it wasn't so chashiv, in which case you can do business with them on those days. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
All right.